I want to read from John's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 1 to 14. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way." That the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, "Of those whom you have given me, I have lost none." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. As we come to Good Friday and reflect on the crucifixion of Jesus, I have been gripped again by a number of verses of Scripture that show that Jesus was totally in control of all that was happening as he was arrested, tried, and then crucified, and then, of course, raised from the dead. In our Bible reading, in John 18, verse 4, we read Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him. Clearly, as one event followed another, as Jesus moves towards his crucifixion, nothing takes him by surprise. The events of our Lord's last days on earth were all part of the divine plan. And his crucifixion was, in the words of verse 11, "The cup the Father has given me." It was truly a bitter cup, but let us be in no doubt that the Lord fully and freely accepted it. A few months ago, I was reading John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. There Jesus says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father." It was the Father's cup. But remember the words of Jesus in John 10 and verse 30. "I and the Father are one." Our triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are co-equal and live in perfect oneness. And we see that here as Jesus not only accepts, but fully and freely proceeds towards the cross. He said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Indeed, Jesus was not only committed to the divine plan, but fully in control as well. It's no surprise, then, to see many indications of his control throughout John's Gospel. Of course, they are to be found in all the Gospels, but I am limiting myself to a few examples from John's Gospel today. Let's see some of them. Early in John's Gospel, in John 3, verses 14 and 15, as Jesus talked with a man called Nicodemus, he said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." There, as Jesus talks to a member of the Jewish council, he reminds him of the history of his people. Jesus takes him back to an incident in the Old Testament when God had punished his people because of their disobedience and many had been bitten by snakes. After that, when the people repented of their sin and asked for God's mercy, God instructed Moses to sculpture a bronze serpent and raise it on a pole with the promise that anyone who was bitten could look at the bronze serpent and live. Here in John 3, Jesus told Nicodemus that just as that serpent was lifted up, he would be lifted up. Those verses in John 3 link closely with John 12, 32 and 33, where we read that Jesus said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Jesus was indicating to Nicodemus and to those who listened to him in John 12, 32 and 33, that he knew that he would be crucified, that in the Old Testament, God had foreshadowed it, that it was a vital part of God's plan for his coming into the world. And not only was he fully aware of the plan, he was totally committed to it as well. He was in control. But what was the purpose of it all? Just as many in the days of Moses looked at the serpent and lived, so also people would be drawn to the crucified Jesus. And why? Because on the cross he would pay the penalty for the sins of his people, so that as we are drawn to him in repentance and in faith, we may be forgiven, be reconciled to God, be received into his family, and be able to rejoice in his wonderful gift of eternal life. As we come to Good Friday, are we full of gratitude that Jesus was committed to the cross? And there he accepted the punishment for our sin? As the narrative of John's Gospel unfolds, we see more indications that Jesus was very much in control. In chapter 10, verse 39, John records, "Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp." On a previous occasion in John 6 and verse 15, following the feeding of the 5,000, the crowd had conspired to come and take him by force and make him their king. Yet, despite their numbers, they failed, and he withdrew to the mountain by himself. But here in John 10 and verse 39, the Jews are intent on killing him. But they can't. Why? Because in the plan of God, The time for him to die had not yet come, and nor was he to die by stoning. And so, despite the intense hatred and murderous intent, Jesus escapes their grasp again. Jesus was in control. But then let us fast forward to the time when Jesus was arrested. At the beginning of this Good Friday reflection, we read from John 18, 1-14. John's account of the time when a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests arrived in the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest him. Surely, with a detachment of soldiers and officials from the chief priests and Pharisees, it was going to be straightforward. But look with me at verses 4-8. In verse 4, we are reminded that Jesus knew all that was going to happen to him. Then, seeing the party who had come to arrest him, he goes forward to meet them and asks, "Who is it you want?" In verse 5, the arresting party say they're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. But notice what happens next. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Can you picture that in your mind? A detachment of Roman soldiers and those with them drawing back and falling in a heap on the ground. Clearly, at that moment in time, Jesus could have escaped, as he had done previously. But this time, his time had come, and so he stays in the garden. Then, when the arresting party had got back onto their feet, Jesus instructed them to let his disciples go, which they did. And then he handed himself over to them. Jesus was so in control. Jesus was not taken against his will. He willingly went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. What is fascinating is that Jesus was not only in control of what was happening to him, but of what was happening around him too, as Peter found out. While Jesus was being questioned by the high priest, Peter was wishing he had never ventured in to the high priest's courtyard. For there a servant girl confronted him and said, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" Peter bottled out and denied being a disciple. Then it happened again. And then a little later, one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" And once more Peter denied his Lord. But then what happened? A cockerel crowed. Fulfilling what Jesus had said to Peter earlier, "Before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. Jesus was so in control. Then in John 19, we see Jesus face to face with arguably the most powerful man in Jerusalem at that time, Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. In verse 10, he says to Jesus, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" But what does Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, say to Pilate? "You would have no power over me if it were not given you from above." It is as if Jesus was saying to Pilate, "The only reason I'm standing here because it is in the plan and purpose of God for me to do so. And because, as the Son of God, I am fully signed up to carrying out this plan and purpose to the very end. I'm in control. And then finally, in chapter 19, having committed his mother to the care of the disciple John, and having instructed John to take care of his mother, he cries from the cross, "It is finished." The word in the original is tetelestai, an accounting term that means the debt is paid. Jesus had come to pay the penalty for the sins of his people. Now it was paid in full. 3 days later, he would rise from the dead to show that it was so, and send his disciples into all the world to proclaim the good news and to call on people everywhere to repent, so that they might receive forgiveness of their sin, be reconciled to God, and be welcomed into the family of God forever. May we praise God today for his great plan of salvation. May we praise the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for completing the mission he was given to do. One modern hymn writer, reflecting on the first Good Friday story, wrote these words: "You chose the cross with every breath, the perfect life, the perfect death. You chose the cross. A crown of thorns you wore for us and crowned us with eternal life. You chose the cross. And though your soul was overwhelmed with pain, obedient to death, you overcame. You loosed the cords of sinfulness and broke the chains of my disgrace. You chose the cross. Up from the grave victorious, you rose again so glorious. You chose the cross. The sorrow that surrounded you was mine, yet not my will, but yours be done, you said. I'm lost in wonder, I'm lost in love, I'm lost in praise forevermore, because of Jesus' unfailing love. I am forgiven, I am restored." The writer of the Bible book of Hebrews says of Jesus, "Who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." What was the joy that was set before him? It was seeing men and women from all over the world embracing him and as their Saviour and their Lord. Are you one of them this morning? Amen.